trying to make it right. These people won't let me go. I'm just trying to live my life. I just need space to grow. I'm just trying to make it right. These people won't let me go. Let me grow, let me go. Let me grow, let me go. They should know, they should know. They should know, they should know. I'm just trying to live my life. Need space to grow. I'm just trying to make it right. These people won't let me go.
Welcome to The Tea with Bree. I'm your host, Bree. Thanks for listening. The Tea with Bree podcast is focused on deep, honest, and vulnerable conversation. Each week, I sit down with a different guest in order to have those conversations. Every week, we'll start my guest's bio, an intro to how we know each other, and then we'll go into a deep dive conversation about whatever topic they brought to me that week. This week, I am joined by my guest, Jackie Jones. Jackie, who uses she, her pronouns, is a secondary education teacher. She currently works in a suburban school district teaching mathematics. She is a wife and mother of two young boys and lives in New Haven, Connecticut. As a teacher, she is consistently working on not only the improvement of her students academically, but strives to make them more informed citizens as well. Hello, friend.
Hello.
I'm so excited to talk to you.
I know, me too.
For those of you who are tuned in, Jackie and I have been friends since high school.
Jesus.
Which I'm like, what, 2005? No.
Four. Yeah,
2004. Oh my God.
So when I texted you the other day and I said, I was like, oh, we've known each other for 20 years. I was like, there is no way. But it really was
20 years ago.
And when I say that, like, to my students, I'm like, how are you? What do you mean you're like not like you were born in 2009?
It grosses me out.
It's awful. It's actually awful.
It's offensive.
I'm like, cool. I was in college and I was like drinking my face off.
You were just like coloring.
You're like, grow. No, they weren't coloring. They were like growing their eyeball. Like, that's what was happening. Their mother was growing their eyeball.
And it's fine. I laugh, one, because you teach my nephew now. So I'm like, no, like, literally, he was just born yesterday. So I'm like, how are you 15?
I know. And he's 6 feet tall. And you're just like, that's weird.
It is so funny. Like, when my friends who haven't seen him in a while see him again, they're like, that is a grown ass man. I go, no, truly. Like, he swears he's my father. Like, that man, he is a man. And it is ridiculous. I'm like.
And I feel like in the last, at least when like we were in high school, I remember being like, oh, I am extremely awkward. I'm 14, 15. I have acne that I can't really hide and whatever. And low-rise jeans were a thing. But, like, who among us should be wearing low-rise jeans?
Triggered.
But now I'm like, where is the bottom half of your shirt, girl? You need men showing their upper thighs? What is happening? You're 15. Put some clothes on.
You could not pay me to go back to high school right now.
Not right now.
When I dropped him off one day, I just like watched all the kids walk in and I was like, so no one's wearing bad makeup because everything's a tutorial now. Because I think about all of my friends' makeup in high school. I was like, why do we think blue eyeliner?
I was just about to say the blue eyeshadow and like sparkle.
Our thin ass eyebrows. I'm triggered thinking about it. Growing up in Connecticut, obviously, I think about the leggings under a jean skirt in the winter. I'm like, why did we why did we think this was high fashion? The layering of t-shirts, which did you see that TikTok about a girl who's like, I discovered like basically layering t-shirts. I'm like, get offline. Don't touch grass.
When I tell you, I have this image in my brain there. I was like, oh, I was that bitch where I wore a jean skirt. I wore a jean skirt. I wore white flip-flops thinking I was that
iconic.
And then I also wore a like coral pink Ralph Lauren polo.
I can, Jackie, underneath. I know this outfit.
Underneath an orange Ralph Lauren polo that had a coral little man that was the same color, and you couldn't tell me nothing. You could not tell me nothing. I straightened my hair. Oh, forget it.
High fashion of the 2000s.
And I had those fake Chanel fucking earrings thinking I was like that girl.
You were that girl.
I was. How could I not be with that outfit?
Listen, whenever I got 1 year, my parents gave me the nameplate belt. And the nameplate earrings. You couldn't tell me shit. I'm so sorry. My name's Brianna with an O. Fucking respect me. Who do you think was you it? Are?
With the name belt.
That belt lives in my head rent free.
I honestly completely forgot about those, and now I'm so happy. No.
High fashion. I've been, obviously, I rewatch One Tree Hill, like it's my job. And I have now, my algorithm now will show me the TikToks of like the people who grew up as like in our ages, like going back and like pretending they're us. And it's like the one girl who's like getting ready, and it's like the very like crunchy ass hair with like the
straightened bangs.
But then why were we all wearing those large ass fucking necklaces, the statement necklaces?
Those fake Tiffany ones?
With like business casual wear? Like what? And the platform pump? The amount of platform pumps I owned?
I remember when I was 21, going to a bar and wearing a white tank top, fitted skinny jeans, and a fucking vest, like a men's dress vest. And I was like, yes, I will get my husband tonight with this. Like, everyone is buying me drinks. Like, no one is. No one is like, welcome to our business casual
no
Friday.
No one's closing deals on a Friday night.
It's Stella Blues in the what are you doing?
Triggered.
Oh my God.
What a time to be alive.
What a time.
These kids don't know.
The early aughts.
The early aughts. The kids don't know how good they got it right now. You can Google everything. Ugh. Oh, God. The internet, the drama of the MySpace 8, top 8.
Triggered. And then you had to pick a song. And then if you changed your song and your top 8 changed, and like all
the aim away messages, the profile. Listen, what a time to be alive. Peak. We peaked. There's like,
I survived
the early aughts. You cannot destroy me.
Did you ever do the AIM like profile where it was like one color background and then you like put the font, like typed something into the same
like the
color
hidden
background?
Yeah.
So it was hidden, so you had to highlight it.
Yes.
Oh,
the drama,
God.
The high class drama.
And Comic Sans always. Comic Sans
the
till
font
I die.
Of our childhood. The hello.
Oh, God.
The chokehold.
Anyway. I refuse to write in Comic Sans now. Now I'm like, I'm a fucking classy lady. I'm not writing in Comic Sans.
Every time there's this one bar, like this alcohol store, this liquor store on my way to work, and their legitimate business sign is written in Comic Sans. It's like Chris something. And every time I pass it, I to myself crack up in my car like, he gets us. He knew. He survived. Chris was in our generation. He's like, I'm taking it back. I am reclaiming Comic Sans. And
if you know what the name of this font is, you need a drink, and I don't need to check your ID.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, you are my people, and please, free drink on me, actually. Take a bottle for the road.
Oh my God, it's so bad.
I had to take a picture. It's like Chris Liquors, and I'm always like, I need to go in because I need to meet Chris and ask him who hurt him.
Excuse me, where is Chris?
Is Chris here today? I just have one quick question. No, it won't take too much.
Can I see your ID, Chris? Yeah, to see what year you graduated high school?
It's giving 06, but you know. Sure.
It is giving very 06.
It is giving 06. God. Well, speaking of a throwback, we are here to talk about politics and when life was not a dumpster fire. And so I was reading your notes because Obama was also the first time I voted.
Yeah.
in 08, what a time. And it's going to sound so funny. I mean, we're recording on the day where Kamala announced her VP pick. My whole family and I have been going down a rabbit hole of like, who is this man? All day.
Yeah.
Like, Waltz, I think everybody has. Because he was the only one no one knew anything about. Like, I knew about Mark Kelly and his wife, and I actually worked on his campaign back in 2020 when I was in Austin. I did some work. I didn't watch Shapiro out of Pennsylvania. I was like, please, I knew anybody but him. And then for this man who is now truly America's dad, like, we have all gone in the rabbit hole. We're like, no, we're all in love with him. He's 60. He's a dad. Like, he's so fun. He's a veteran. Like, he was a teacher. He was the teacher for the GSA. Like, someone came to him and asked, he's like, yeah, a veteran who was married, who was straight. He's like, someone asked me, like, yeah, I'll do it. And like, he was a football coach at the time. I'm like, so we're all in love with Waltz. Got it.
Honestly.
Got it.
Like, oh, we picked this like man who was like, okay, he seems like he's a nice enough. No.
And everyone, like, I follow that same, before you and I we got on, I was telling about an influencer that I follow. She's from Minnesota. And so she was like, very sad. She's like, I'm sad for Minnesota, but I'm so happy for the rest of the country to like learn about this man because he's been doing such great work in Minnesota.
And the fact that it's like voted like the happiest state, which in my mind, I'm like, okay, I would maybe think like, I don't know, Hawaii. Because I'm like, oh, this is a beach and it's beautiful. But like, Lord knows I've never been. I would love to. But like, I'm sure there's problems within, as there is everywhere.
Oh, yes,
but like, this freezing ass fucking state is the happiest state? Yeah,
because he's the governor.
Because maybe because they are able to eat breakfast and lunch every single day.
He gave the kids free lunch.
Oh, so he's a bad dude. Anyway.
How dare he?
Why would you give children food?
The nerd.
Anyway, I digress.
And so she had been saying, she's like, he may be more liberal than Kamala. And I was like, yes, like a white man?
Yeah.
Clinched. Like, I'm still register and vote because I'm truly terrified that people.
It's very important. Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of my friends have been talking about this because I might be a leftist. I don't know. I really don't really agree with capitalism. Like, just give everything away for free. Why do we have to charge for anything? And I'm like, you know, life. Like, why are we charging for healthcare, childcare, education? Like, why aren't these things, you know, just universal? But like, you know, having looked at all that and, you know, now preparing for the election and folks having been very critical about how Biden and Kamala have responded to Gaza and Congo and everything, I'm like, you guys, I hear your anger. And I know the two-party system is bullshit. But we cannot live under a Trump presidency again, especially after Project 2025. Actually, the guy just stepped down who I think wrote it. It was on the project. He stepped down this week.
But that's also like, there are rumors that it's because he's going to get a job in the Trump administration and they want to take him out now. So that way he's not like the face of it. And that way they can put him on the administration and people not like realize his name anymore.
We're not dumb. Google is free.
What do you mean we're not dumb? We're not just stupid.
We all like, have the internet. Like,
yeah. It's which to be honest, I think the internet is kind of has done, but it's what has made these two factions of people saying like, before, like, at least from my perspective, like, in, like, writing in the notes how I said, like, the first time I voted in a presidential election was 2008. And I realize now that, like, I genuinely didn't understand that people didn't think the same way as me. Exactly. I genuinely did not, like, I was like, what do you mean you don't?
This is my origin story about getting into politics. It wasn't the Obama election. It was the Al Gore election, which I was maybe 10, but I was in sixth grade, I think, at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we grew up in the same town. And so in elementary school, one of my teachers asked us as a class of like, hey, if you could vote tomorrow, who would you vote for? And my brain of like, hi, I've known these people for the last 5 years of my life. Yeah. We're in the same class. We live in the same town. What are we talking about? Obviously everyone's going to say Gore, and to see hands not go up for Gore, I was like, where am I? Like, at 10 years old, I was like, oh, you taught, like, we don't all think the same? Like, we're not having the same experience in the same house at the same time?
And I think that it's also, like, I was born in the Bronx, and then my family moved to Connecticut because my brother is on the low end of the autistic spectrum. And part of the reason that – and he got into a really specific school that was really helpful for his disability. And the reason that we moved to Hamden in particular is because they were one of the few districts to bus him to that school and provide a free and appropriate education, which at the time, the fuck if I know what's going on. Now, as an educator, I do know that it is – to outplace your child is extremely difficult. To get a district to pay to play to outplace your child is also extremely difficult. So I think coming from a liberal perspective of like, okay, I was surrounded by all these people where I learned about holidays like Ramadan and Kwanzaa and like Hanukkah when we were learning about like Christmas too. And I remember being, because I think at the time Ramadan had been during that time frame, because I know it obviously changes every year, but I remember being like, so we don't talk about this when we moved to Connecticut. And I was like, okay, whatever. Like, I also nine, so it wasn't like I was like, excuse me, why aren't we talking about whatever. So but then growing up, I also lived in a more white neighborhood in in the town that we grew up in, even though it was a super diverse town.
Did you know, like, the year I graduated, so 08, I've looked this up because I had did a presentation years ago, and at the time, the demographic breakdown for Hamden was 40% white, 40% black, and 20% other people of color.
I knew that in 2004, it was 65, or it was 60-40. 60% were white and 40% were minorities. What? Which is like, I mean, that's really indicative of like the dynamics of our town. Like, it, you need to be around other people, even if you don't want to get along with them. So, like, it's very, it was, I think that's also a huge reason as to why my parents moved where they did. Because my mom was born and bred in the Bronx. Like, she is – her accent is still the thickest thing I've ever heard in my life. But she was more like, well, I don't want to move to somewhere where I can't, like, be around a bunch of people. I also need sidewalks, which I was like, who cares about – like, but there are parts of the town that we grew up in that don't have them. And then there are parts that have, like, corner stores and, like, bodegas or whatever. Like, it, there's – it's a huge town. So, but because we grew up in that town and because we were surrounded by so many people, I genuinely didn't understand. And because I think I was also, I don't want to say like coddled because that's not a thing, but I was like, my parents didn't really talk to me about politics, I think, because they were like, make your own decisions, do whatever it is that you want. And also because they were dealing with their own shit with my brother, and my sisters are a lot younger than me. So what are they going to talk to me about?
Right.
Exactly. So once I finally got to an age where I was like, oh, we're going to vote. This is great. I was in my sophomore year of college. I was at UConn. So it was like a much more like liberal school because it's a big state school. It's huge. And I remember voting for him and being like, oh my God, this is great. But not realizing that there were also people that didn't. And I think that that didn't also stick out to me in 2012 either as much. Like, it started to, because I was like, why am I worried that he's not going to win? Like, I shouldn't be worried that he's not going to win. And then I was like, oh, maybe it's because I'm actually like aware. Thinking about these people. Yeah. Thinking about that there are people who think that Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan are the best fit for them. And then Mitt Romney started talking about binders of women and people were like, what the fuck is he talking about? Like, but again, I was like, how come they keep calling him like this black man who grew up in Kenya? Whatever. What is what?
Which, never forget that even back then, Trump was still like, Obama can't be president. He's not a U.S. born citizen. Or like, hi, hello. Yes, he is. And like, I like what he's doing with Kamala right now. Like, since when is she black? Or like, since her whole life when she's talked about it, she talked about being both Black and Indian and went to a historically Black college. Like,
exactly. What
are you talking about? Also, never forget that Trump tried to kill all the kids from the Central Park Six who weren't even, Central Park Four, who weren't even guilty. I'm like,
Five.
Right
four, there in the middle.
Four, five. Central Park kids that didn't do it, and he's never apologized. I'm like, of course never, he hasn't, because
he's
out never
going to. Full gonna... page ad Front in the New York Post. Like, insane. I listened to a podcast called The Dollop, which is actually like a really cool podcast. Mm-hmm. It's these two guys, and one of them is a they're both comedians. One of them does research on like a historical event and the other, or like a topic, and then the other one doesn't know what it's about. Mm-hmm. So he just reacts to it. And one of them, right in 2016, was about Trump, and he basically outlined his entire like come up kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And it talked about how his older brother wanted to be in the military and be a pilot, and him and his father just made him feel like shit about it and made him feel bad about it, so much so that he became like clinically depressed and drank himself to death. He also like he borrowed $1 million or whatever from his father to start his corporation, mm-hmm. whatever. He bought Trump Towers on the East Side Highway, but they were originally rent control departments. So he would start paying people. He would turn on and then fire them if they wouldn't follow through with kicking people out. He turned on the water sprinkler systems so that people had mushrooms growing in their carpets and like mold. And that's how he was able to evict them, quote unquote, without actually getting them to leave, like of their own volition. And then also the last thing I distinctly remember that he said at the end of it was that in an interview, he asked if it was strange if he was more attracted to his daughter than his wife. Mm-hmm. And he asked that to be off the record. And the reporter was like, you're a fucking creep. And he is. The fact that this man buried his children's mother on a golf course so that he could get out of paying taxes on that property is bananas. Also that his children let him do that, so fuck them. But like,
he's certifiable. Like
the second, and I will say, like I said, like going way back to what I was talking about before I lost my mind. when my parents, when I started voting and started paying attention more and more to politics, especially around the 2016 election, I had never seen my mother become like politically involved ever really. Like she never talked about it. Mm-hmm. My dad was more so than I had anticipated him. And he always is willing to talk to people about politics. He is a Democrat, and I appreciate that he is also still willing to talk to people because he is a quote unquote typical white man. Mm-hmm. And I distinctly remember that my mom had a visceral hatred for Donald Trump as soon as he made fun of a disabled reporter. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I will never think that that man is a good person ever. And he's not. He's not a good person. He will never be a good person. And I can't understand how, even if you don't politically believe in the things that Kamala and now Tim want to do, how you can consciously vote for someone who has been just mean, hateful. Just mean.
Straight up hateful. And that's like, I was telling you, a person who I know was in my DMs recently and was like, why are you afraid of a Trump presidency again? I'm like,
why are you not?
I'm so sorry. Are we not living in the same lifetime? And it's been so interesting too, like having women friends who voted for Trump in 2016 because they just couldn't vote for Hillary because of whatever reason. But then them calling me, like, I love you, Mike, but clearly you don't. Like your values align with who you vote for. And that's like what I think is such a interesting conversations now, like you're talking about your dad, of like politics have gotten so personal because I feel like Trump has made it personal. Like, it was never a thing people really talked about before Obama. I feel like that was, people just kind of voted and did your own thing. Like, no one really cared. And then I feel like when Trump came out and he's just been so out of pocket and people have just like let him do anything. And it's, to me, it's almost like cult level. And like, you look at like the way he even treats people in his own party, that's between, you know, like Ted Cruz, who is the fucking worst. I've lived in Texas for 8 years and I wouldn't pee on that man if he was on fire. Like, the fucking worst. How she did other Republicans. I also always want to remind people, because I was listening to a podcast that I love called Fever Dream, America's Fever Dream, by this person named V, who I fucking love, from Under the Desk. Like, they do news under the desk on TikTok. Love them. Anyway, I'll link them. But they were like, let's never forget that the reason that Trump needs a new VP is because he basically told the insurrectioners on January 6th that it was fine if they killed Mike Pence.
Yeah.
Like, let's never and forget that this man, like, was like, you can kill him. I'll find someone new.
And that Mike Pence actually, like, was like, yeah, no, I'm can't. Good.
Thank you.
Like, certify an election.
And we have not heard from that man since. I'm like, I hope he is somewhere underground. Like, he disappeared. I have not heard anything about Mike Pence in, like, two, 3 years.
He tried to run for the nomination.
Please.
But a valiant effort by you, Mike Pence.
Like, I just truly think, and also like looking at JD Vance too, like how he was like, I'm a never Trumper, I'll never work with him, and then like now he's the VP pick, and I'm like,
he's, I think, suckling me, the teeth.
There's just like, so I always lie because the Republicans, like, the Democrats have no morals, they don't believe in God. And I'm like, as a person who grew up very religious, who has now had, who has religious trauma because of the right, like because of y'all's and how people use religion specifically now. I'm like, I don't understand how y'all can call yourself the party of the Republicans, but all the things that you believe in are things that Jesus wouldn't believe in. Like, I can't believe that Jesus would allow a young girl who was raped to keep a baby.
Mm.
Even if it was incest. Like, it's fine. Like, it's just all these things you just, I just, every time I'm like, this is a literal cult. This man wants to take away, like, voting rights and, like, wants... Project 2025 is literally, they handed us what they want to do, and people are like, they're like, you're overreacting. Like, don't gaslight me. I can read. Like,
it's especially because the same, I distinctly remember having a conversation with someone leading up to the 2016 election saying, oh no, they won't overturn Roe v. Wade. Bitch.
First thing they're gonna fucking do.
Bitch. Like, what do you think's gonna happen? The fact that Merrick Garland was like, just like boxed out of being a Supreme Court justice literally put that into motion. The fact that, like, and morally, I've, like, having discussions with people about it, like, we give ourselves the moral equity of saying, like, oh, well, I voted for a black man, so I can vote for Trump. Like,
no.
No. That's not
absolve you.
No. It shouldn't like help you sleep at night about it. It's not
a badge of honor.
No, it's not like, oh, well, I voted for a black man. First of all, if we're doing this whole dichotomy of like, well, she's Indian and she's black about Kamala. Well, Barack Obama's half white. He's going around saying he's a white man. He's going, now all of a sudden he turned black, which also the verbiage use of turned black is straight up wild. I knew that he was going to drop
the
out
national
of that.
Broad black, like, black journalist event. Like,
he's like, you're being so rude. You're not even saying hello
to the moderator. Bitch, he's like, you're a nasty you don't woman. Say, you didn't greet me.
You don't say hello to anybody. You just fucking take up.
She's a
air
nasty
that
woman.
Is better for all of us.
I was like, in what world? You just bring up Roe made me think, because I did a lot of work around abortion access in Texas.
Yeah.
And we were having conversations trying to warn people, like, if Roe got overturned, this would literally trickle into everything else, and it truly has trickled into everything else. It was never just about abortion access. It was about control over other people's bodies. And we've now seen how they've taken Roe, the overturning of Roe, and made it about, and have, like, use this as a blueprint to now go after trans folks and their access to sexual health care, women's health care. It wasn't, you know, it's just anyone who can get pregnant, like all that sort of stuff. And watching it now, like, a mother literally has to be, like, dying for them to do an abortion now, which is, like, so this baby has more rights than the mother. But also you say that, but then you don't give anything to these kids, free lunch, free healthcare, nothing. You just want to have a baby. And then also how they're also using it to basically sneakily trying to overturn marriage equality, but not just for gay marriage, also like the interracial marriage.
Yeah, like Loving versus.
And I'm like, Clarence Thomas, isn't your wife white? J.D. Vance, isn't your wife Indian, Middle Eastern? Like, do you all just truly think about, well, I'll be okay. Fuck everybody else. And I'm like, okay.
No, but they, I think that to have that mindset, you do. You can't, like, to have that mindset, I genuinely don't think you can see past the end of your nose. And if you do, it's blurry. Like, it doesn't make any sense because, like, J.D. Vance, I read somewhere, I forget, that he's recently converted to Catholicism. I am Catholic. I am not a practicing Catholic because I think that there are a lot of things wrong with the Catholic Church. I will say, like, I do appreciate that Pope Francis is a little bit more progressive than past popes, but he still said some really shitty things. So again, not practicing, but if I had to align myself with a faith, because that's the only one that I really know enough about, I would say that. But his wife is Hindu and he's saying, like, oh, we need to get back to Christian values. I'm like, then what is your wife going to do? Your wife, your life partner that you chose, what is she going to do?
Jackie, that's her problem.
But she's his property, isn't she? Like, it's like he's going to have to figure out. Like, it's not it. It's so many things. It's a feeling of things slipping away from them. It's a very much an old curmudgeon-y way of looking at things, of not being accepting of other people because you're worried that other people are going to push you out.
It's boomer behavior.
Yes, like, very much so.
It's okay to like want different things. I also find it riveting to me whenever I meet a young person who is a Republican and I'm like, have you not been paying attention to the economy and how the earth is on fire?
On fire.
Literally burning. But no one thinks that, no, but you're okay. It's fascinating. Anyone like in our age group and younger who's a Republican to me, I'm riveted and I'm fascinated. I don't want to talk to you because I it's not my job to change your mind, but I'm riveted.
I feel like the people who are, though, it's because their parents were. And their parents are well off. I don't want to say that for certain because I can't, like,
no, I've got, I don't know, all of them. People who are Republicans.
But I also think that is because, like, it is because all they know, and because, like, there's that whole thing of, like, really rich people are Republican and really poor people are Republican because the really rich people want to hold on to their money. And then the really poor people are like, why should people who are less off than me get more than me? Mm. Because they have this idea of like, well, everyone should be able to like get a job and figure it out themselves. Why can't they figure it out themselves? P.S. These are the same people who are probably like, I need Obamacare, but they think like because it's called something different that it's not Obamacare.
The Affordable Care Act.
Yeah. They're like, oh, well, that's not Obamacare. Yes, it is. The Affordable Care Act is the same thing. Or like it just because they have these really succinct nicknames that's what people hold on to. And they're like, well, this is a bad thing. But what it actually is something that benefits you in the long run. I think that you mentioned way before, like universal child care. Why don't we have that? Universal health care. Why don't we have that? I really think that for me, especially as an educator, I think education should be socialized because you – and I also think that we need to provide more advantages to becoming a teacher because there are incentives. Yeah. I shouldn't say advantages. I should say incentives. Especially the Black community and the Latino community because – the effect that it has on students to have a teacher that looks like them, because I do think teaching is underfunded because it is a majority white female employed, like, way of being employed. I think that if we were to give people, and that's why I think also that people are like, teachers are the worst, teachers are blah, blah, because, or teachers get 2 months off. If it was really, if you were so fucking worried about it or you didn't want it, why are you like, oh, thank God that I'm sending my kids back to school? Because your kid fucking sucks. Like,
hi, when people had to educate their kid in the pandemic.
Yeah. Like, and they were like, I can't do that. But in the same breath, like, go back to work. Like, like, when, oh, everyone's sick, my child can't be sick, oh, teachers are doing so much, teachers are doing all this, bending over backwards, recording videos. The amount of bullshit that I bought, that I did, this amount of time that I spent, it was, like, outside of school hours is ridiculous. And not only that, but then, in, like I said, 2 months later, why aren't you going back to work? Well, first of all, I was pregnant. And second of all, because I don't want to get sick. Like, is that okay?
No, like, how dare you?
So it's – we need to get more people of color, regardless, into schools, ideally in the classroom, but in administrative positions would also be great. I think more in the classroom just because of the more interaction with students, I think, is much more beneficial.
Yeah, you saying this, I think about when we were in high school, our president – I mean, our principal was a black man, Gary Highsmith. We had Dr. C, who was one of our vice principals.
I love that woman so much. Me too.
We had Mrs. Rodriguez, who was my, like, and I think about what that meant for not only for diversity and, like, showing kids that you could truly do anything, and also, like, obviously having teachers of color too, but also, like, what it does for the school-to-prison pipeline and how, like, black and brown students aren't policed as much in school when they have admin and teachers who look like them, because there's, like, more patience and more understanding and more things. Like, obviously, like, teachers of all races do their best, but, like, there's still biases and all that other stuff that happens. But I'm like, the more options we have for teachers who look like our students, the better everybody is. And so I think about that as well. I'm like, we could truly change how education looks. And, you know, now working at a – I work at a nonprofit preschool and watching the amount of money my teachers spend – and we're nonprofit, so, I mean, I'm sure it's significantly even more significant than teachers and, you know, high school and things like that. But, I mean, having talked to all my teachers' friends, every year when I see them post their back-to-school list, I'm like, why is this not funded? And obviously, like, the leftist version of myself is like, we could probably, like, defund the police a little bit more and put that back into schools. And I'm like, people are going to be pissed. I'm like, but in a time that has, like, no crime, we probably, like, reallocate funds and do something with the money to help our teachers. Because I'm also like, the more educated kids are, the less crime they're going to commit, obviously. So it's all these things are connected, but it's not the conversation that people want to actually be having. They just want to, like, put blame and run with it. And
I'm like, which is another reason why I said, like, I do think that education is underfunded. So if you think about, like, a town, like, structure, there's the government of the town and there's all that stuff, and then the people that work for the town, but the hugest budget part of the budget goes to the police and the fire department. That's fine, because those are actual, like, life-saving things. I would argue, hear me out, that teaching is also something that's life-saving. In the town that I now used to work in, there was a police officer that unfortunately passed away while on duty, and there was a fireman who unfortunately passed away while on duty. School was canceled for those two officers because of their funerals. And I felt awful in the fact that I thought to myself, if I dropped dead on this job, no one would do shit. Like, I felt awful because it is a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. The especially the police officer, he had – granted, both of them, it was tragic. The police officer had very young kids. His youngest was one. And, like, it was awful. The fire department – the firefighter, his son was in high school last year. Like, it was – it's bad. I genuinely don't think that anyone would have done anything mm-hmm. had a teacher died in the middle of class or died during the school year. It would have just been like, well.
Sorry.
Yeah. Like, I think if a teacher was sick and died, and there was a teacher this year that was on leave, and she has been for over a year because she has cancer, and she has young children also. Yes, the community has rallied around her, and thankfully she's doing much better and she's able to go back to work this school year. But I genuinely don't think that anything would have happened if she had passed away. Mm. And that's really frustrating because it feels as though it is because of the fact that she's a teacher and she's a woman. Because we think of teachers as being like this mothering figures and trying to teach kids how to be better people. But I think that socializing education and creating incentives for minorities to teach by saying like, hey, if you are, which then I feel like it goes back to affirmative action and it'll all blow up in my face, but it should be something where like we should be giving scholarships to children, to young adults who want to become teachers, especially if they are minorities. I could give a fuck if someone was like, oh, I got a scholarship and I got my master's in education and I'm a Black man. Great. I don't give a fuck how you paid for school. You could have had a peephole for all I give a shit. Like, I don't care. I would rather have someone who's competent, who wants to be there, isn't doing it just for like saying that it's like a paycheck, because it's not at the end of the day. But if you were given a scholarship, those people will follow through. Mm-hmm. There's in the state of Connecticut in the last like year, I want to say that there were, I remember somebody saying a statistic that I was like, oh shit, that there were only like 5 or 6 people in the state that graduated with their master's to be a math teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Less people are becoming teachers.
Yeah. Because
it's thankless. It is a thankless yes. job, education. And, you know, working at a school now and becoming very close with my teachers and having worked at a school for children with autism many years ago, I was always such a nerd. Like, I loved learning. So I've always had such a respect yeah. for teachers. But now, obviously, being older and having friends who are teachers and working with teachers and realizing that, like, and if you guys don't watch Abbott Elementary, I highly recommend it.
It's, oh my God, it's so good.
One, it's hilarious. But two, it just like gives such a nuanced look into education, specifically education like an inner city school. Mm. But looking at like teachers aren't just educators, right? Like sometimes they're making sure the kids are fed. They're making sure they have clothes and making sure they take a nap. Like there's all these things of like sometimes teachers are like second, sometimes even first parents. Like a lot of these kids are coming from the homes that are not stable or they're going through a lot of things. And for even the kid to show up to school is a big deal. And so I just always tell people that like teaching is a thankless job, but it's also not just teaching. It is social work. Like it is truly saving and shaping lives because kids come to school for meals. And, you know, seeing the statistics during the pandemic too, of like you had so many kids facing food insecurity that a lot of schools just opened up to feed the kids.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that was the only meals they would see would be the meals they had at school and taking meals home, right? And I tell people, which is, again, about the politics and what's going on right now, I was like, I think, like, if both parties were like, hey, we have our ideals, we have our morals, we're separated on, you know, whatever, but we're willing to, like, provide all these resources on both sides, I think then I would be willing to have the conversation. But it is, for me, the way that, I hate to say it, the Republican Party is just always trying to be like, well, they want to give free this and that and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, why is that a bad thing to make? Like you said, like, to make sure that kids are fed, to make sure that veterans have healthcare, to make sure that mothers and children have healthcare, to make sure that people are going to be okay and have the American dream. Sometimes it is that. And you know, in that story about like you're talking about when 45, or she used to ever use his name, DT, got money from his father of like, you didn't have to struggle. So don't act like you understand where these people are coming from. So when I talk to people who are like, yeah, I'm a Republican, I'm like, so are you very wealthy? Are you low income? And I'm like, I just want to understand of like, how do you think that the Republican Party is helping you? What are they doing for you? And I'm not saying that the Democratic Party is at all perfect. But when I think about what my how my my politics line with me, I'm like, I truly believe in giving people what they need to succeed. And like you're saying, I don't give a fuck ass. Like feeding kids. For me, I would love if we could feed all the kids and families who need it. I would love if anyone everyone had housing. Why is anyone homeless? Why is anyone experiencing homelessness? We have truly vacant buildings that are being used for nothing that we could literally throw either windmills or solar panels on and they could power themselves.
Yeah.
And do housing. And the minute you give someone housing, they get stable. They give up. They start to get clean from drugs. They get a job. They, you know, they become people of society again. And you get they get to have that sort of stuff. But if you're sitting here talking about it's a handout, they don't deserve it, says who? But then you tote yourself as a Christian. I'm like, if you were a Christian, you would truly believe in helping people. And you don't.
Yeah. There has to be something that there has to – like, that's where I think, like, there has to be something else that is driving this reasoning behind what it is that you're saying.
The way it gaslights me, like, am I missing something? Like, am I – can I not read? Like
– it's more of, like – it's the fact that people think that fairness is a pie that loses its its value once you give some away. And, like – there's that whole thing of like, if you told a fish to climb a tree, it would think it was stupid forever. Like, it's not like, or would think it was incapable forever. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, because a fish can't fucking do it.
It's
like,
not what it's meant to do.
So that's, and I think also too, coming from the perspective of, again, educator, and now that Tim Walz is going to be, I'm putting that out there that he's going to be the vice president.
A social studies teacher at that, like history, because constitution
now,
like
now that's also a huge issue of like towing the line in education, making sure that you're not saying the wrong thing because someone will call your ass out, because like, which is so
don't
stupid.
Say gay, like all the stuff that's been going
so
on, right? Like
dumb
taking out talking about like DEI, talking about slavery, talking about like, hi, these things happened, and if we don't talk about it, history will repeat itself.
Also, DEI, the fact that we've now given it a negative connotation, who the fuck cares? Who the fuck cares? Who cares if we, like, oh, we hired them because, no, you didn't. You hired them based on their qualifications. If it was because they were black also or whatever, fine. Also, I don't care.
I think about it too, like, if you think that being black gave me a leg up in anything I've ever fucking done in my life. Be fucking serious.
Yeah.
I am so proud to be who I am and for my family and my history and the histories of my ancestors. Like, I carry all that shit with me every fucking day. And I truly believe, like the saying of, like, I am my ancestors' wildest dreams. I truly hold on to that. I am proud to be black. If you think that me being black has gotten me ahead in anything I've ever fucking done,
at your damn mind.
That you don't think that I have to constantly tell incompetent ass white people how to do their fucking jobs and not be getting paid properly, not my current job, before they try to come for me. I'm just talking about my past experience. Do not come for me in my DMs. I will cut you out. So all that to be said is no the fuck not. And like, I was talking to someone the other day, I was like, I have had to fight and try to bite my tongue to get to a director's level right now, and even still in positions of power to have people question me. Or like, I've applied for jobs and one older white dude was like, why didn't you go get your master's? Like, because I actually went out and did the thing because I wanted to make sure it was something I actually wanted to do, and me spending money on a master's degree in social work wasn't something I wanted to do at the time because I didn't have a wealthy family. I was my mom was dead and my dad and I weren't talking. So had to pay for it myself. Nothing was handed to me. Like, you, I'm sure, got college paid for, huh? And he was like, yeah. I was like, yeah. So let's read the room. Like, it's that too, like thinking that DEI. And I'm like, no, I've worked my fucking ass off.
Yeah. And like, it's funny that you mentioned that because I know for a fact that I am extremely fortunate. My husband had to take out loans and had to do everything for school. I did not. And I remember thinking to myself, like, how in the fuck do people expect to get ahead, which my husband and I are the same age. We are 35 years old. He is still paying for that college that he went to because he wanted to go out of state. The people who are administering student loans to children and being like, yeah, it's great. It's fine. You'll pay for it somehow. Is cuckoo bananas. It is cuckoo bananas that you are like, and I've told my students till I was blue in the face. I was like, go to a community college, go to a state school, and then study abroad instead. Do something else. Mm-hmm. Make yourself more of a worldly person rather than being like, I'm going to go a state over to drink my face off, get a C, get my job, and then get out. Like,
I tell people, like my nephew and I were talking about this. He was like, he wants to go into finance, which my family's like, great, tell Jackie he better have his math on fucking lock. but I also tell him, like, what if also, like, you take a year and, like, go to a vocational school? Or what if you, like, if you get a scholarship for baseball or, like, something else, like, don't put everything into baseball. What if you play a sport? What if you do theater? Like, trying to branch out ideas. And so I think about me and his older aunt who went to school, stayed away, but, like, has lived all over the country. I've lived somewhere else. His uncle lives somewhere else. Like, we've gotten out of Connecticut. And we always tell him, like, travel, like, which is why we've made it such an important thing for him and his brothers of, like, let's go somewhere else. Like, it can be a state over. Let's go on a road trip. Let's go across the country. Like, it is so ingrained in us because we got to do that stuff when we were kids. Like, we got to see other options. And that's what I tell kids now. I'm like, school is not for everyone. I don't regret going to college. I had a really great college experience, but I too am still paying student loans.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I went to a private college, a very small private college. But like you're saying, you're asking children, 18, you are quote grown up, but your brain is not fully developed till 25. You are taking thousands of dollars out in the hopes that someday this education will get you a job. The minute you get a job, the minute you have to pay those loans back. And then it was the student loan forgiveness. People were like, well, what about, like, we all, like you're saying, we all didn't have parents who were able to give us money. Yeah. And that's not fair because you tell us we have to go to school to get an education to then get a job because we can't just get a job without an education. So the system was always fucked up. Well, the system was working how it was supposed to work, access. But that's a soapbox for another day. But I'm like, you can't. Then ask, like, okay, well, if you're willing to forgive this, I'm going to take advantage of it because it's a way for me to try to get ahead finally.
Yeah. And I remember one of my coworkers was like, well, I paid my loans. And I was like, good for you. Fucking you. Yeah. Like, and I'm sitting here saying I don't have any, which the reason I don't have any for my master's is because I went to a program where you worked during the day at a district for free and they paid for your tuition. So it was basically doing whatever the fuck the district wanted me to do. And I just had to deal with it because I wanted my grad school paid for because as a teacher in Connecticut, which I'm not sure where it is, how it is everywhere else, but as a teacher in Connecticut, you need to have a master's degree within 5 years of your first year teaching. So knowing that I wanted to be a teacher and knowing that from the jump, I was like, well, I'm going to get my master's right away because if I don't, then I'm fucked and I'm not paying for it and going to school and working at the same time. And people that do that is extremely admirable.
Yeah.
Like, where do you find the time? Because I'm on my ass as soon as my sons go to bed, I'm like, good night to my husband. And he's like, it's 8:30. I was like, you are lucky I have made it. Like, it is hard. But I mean, I think that as a teacher, making myself available to my students and making sure that they feel like someone is listening to them that isn't just their parents or isn't just their family or might just have a different perspective than them, I think is really important. And I think that's also why I draw on the fact that, like, I did grow up in the same town as you. You and I have maintained a friendship over the last 2 decades, and I have, like,
don't do that. It's still
I try to, it's difficult, but you have to try to reach out to them because they're going to be the people who are in charge and they're going to be the people that are like, the ones who are making the hard decisions that we are making now of whether or not they think it's important for families to have paid family leave. When I told my students that I was using sick time to get paid while I was on maternity leave, they were like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "You don't get paid for maternity leave." And they're like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, you don't get paid." And they're like, "So you just leave?" And I go, "Yeah, cool." Yep. And then also having to explain to a friend of mine who doesn't have any children, who her family is Greek. So she was just like, okay, whatever, like thinking of the different healthcare systems. I believe that's at least that's my rationale as to why she thought this. But she was like, when I got the hospital bill for my oldest son, I have health insurance. And I looked at the hospital bill and I was like, Jesus, that's a lot. She was like, it's not free to have children. And I was like, are you fucking kidding? And I about...
In Europe, it is.
I about died. I was like, no. And she was like, well, how much did it cost you? Which, how much do you think it costs?
Like 40 grand.
I stayed in the hospital. I went in on a Friday night because I had preeclampsia. Oh. I was induced. Mm-hmm. I had my son early Sunday morning, and I stayed until Tuesday afternoon. And then I actually ended up going back to the hospital like a week later because my blood pressure was still high.
Upwards of 40.
It was $68,000.
I was like,
and I think.
The minute you said induced in another, I was like, that. I'm like, we're going to go to 60. I'm like, but I'm going to do a safe guess of like 40 something.
Induced, the fact that I had an epidural, the fact that like it costs $250 to have your child circumcised also.
To cut some skin?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Also, this is a complete random thing, which I'm sure that people who are listening are going to be like, no one fucking cares, but I care. The gynecologist does the circumcision, not the pediatrician. Correct. That's thank you. I just wanted people to be like, what do you mean? Because it's an obstetrics and gynecology, so they are surgeons. So fair. They do it. Pediatricians are not surgeons. And I guess it like never dawned on me that that was a thing, but I was like, what do you mean the gynecologist is cutting his penis? Like, anyway, but
yeah, no, it is. Yeah, I think is it Sweden or Switzerland, one of the S countries. When you have a baby, one, it costs like nothing to have a baby in Europe. They cover everything, but also they give you basically a box of like everything you'll need for like your first month of parenthood, and your baby can sleep in the box. Like it's like a box to sleep, and it's like blankets and diapers and everything else, and they send you on your merry little way. And they also have like a birthing person who will like check in on you when you have a baby for free, all for free.
Which is why
I was like, do I just go to Europe when I want to push out a baby? Like,
so there's someone that you and I both went to high school with, and she and I graduated the same year. Our birthdays are 3 days apart. Moved to Australia because that's where – so she studied abroad for a semester. Her and her husband, he's not from there. He's from a completely different country. Sure. But he's a doctor in Australia. Complex. And he wouldn't be a doctor in the United States. So she moved – they got married here, but she moved to Australia. They dated long distance for years and years and years. She and I are 3 days apart. Our children are now 3 days apart, which is very strange. Mm-hmm. But she was like – she came to the U.S. to like have her daughter meet her extended family and meet all these people in December of 2021. Okay. And so our sons were – my son and her daughter were 9 months old at that point. And she was like, oh, I have to go back to work in a couple weeks. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And she was like, yeah, I have to go back to work in a couple of weeks. And I was like – and she's a school psychologist. And she was like, yeah, but they're having me do a staggered start, so I think it'll be okay. And I was like, what do you mean a staggered – start.
Oh yeah, they have.
And she's like, yeah, no, I go for 1 day, and then it'll give me like 3 weeks, and then I'll go for 2 days, and I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, the only reason that I was able to have 5 months at home was because I used enough sick days to make it to summer vacation that I was home. Like it just. but
which I find so funny because Connecticut is what they call like a mother state, which is like they always side with the mom, or like they have all this stuff in place. So you would think they would have paid maternity leave.
So the paid maternity leave is, and I hope that this is 100% correct, but there's a hint that I might be incorrect. For Connecticut paid family leave, you cannot be a state employee, and teachers are state employees. So to get the 12 weeks, you cannot be a state employee, which is why I did not qualify.
That's the dumbest thing, really. Connecticut paid and family leave program provides up to 12 weeks of paid leave in a 12-month period for pregnancy-related reasons. Eligible employees may also receive an additional 2 weeks if they experience a serious health condition related to their pregnancy. Leave can be taken at intermittent, reduced schedule, or block basis and must be used within 12 months of giving birth.
I don't know why that was the thing, but I was like, okay, I guess I'll use my sick days. And you also only get paid a portion of it. So that's the thing too, is like, in if getting back to politics, because it always circles back, if Republicans really gave a shit about women and children like they say that they do, you would provide 100% pay for women and for women mm-hmm. when they go on maternity leave. The fact that my mother got her hip replaced and had more paid time off for her hip replacement than I did for bringing a fucking human being into this world, we're going to get graphic here, where my vagina split, I had stitches, I was bleeding, I was leaking from every orifice of my body. This woman who, granted, it is a big surgery. Yeah.
We're not taking away from her experience. I
brought a fucking human into the world. And you're like, you get half the time she does.
Yeah.
Half?
Her hip was replaced.
Her hip was replaced.
Hello.
She needed to learn to walk again. Meanwhile, I'm having to wake up this baby every 3 hours to feed him. My nipples are bleeding because whatever. It's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. But it's just, if we really cared about women and children, we would provide 12 months, 100%, or 12 weeks. It should be 12 months. 12 weeks at minimum, 100% paid maternity leave. I think that caring about women and children is something that the Democratic Party does better. I can't say that they do it the best, but they definitely do it better. It's not that's the thing, is it's never, I have hope in this administration more than I do for obviously the other side. Mm-hmm. Because I do think that they're able to recognize that they don't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. I think that that's really important in politics to say, like, hey, if we want to do universal health care, which we do, which we should want to do.
Everyone should want universal health care.
Everyone should want universal health care.
This is why your insurance costs so much, is because insurance is private, so they could charge whatever the fuck they want. If it was universal, exactly, like they do in Europe, everything would cost the same and it would probably cost us nothing. Continue. It come out of your tax dollars. You're already paying fucking taxes.
But we need people who are doctors and nurses and APRNs and CNAs and lab techs
and scientists.
People who work in the actual field. And I also think from different places in the mm-hmm. country. I think saying someone from an urban setting, someone from a rural setting, someone from a, like mm-hmm. north, south, Midwest, like it should be people from all different areas of the country who are in that specific field making those decisions. It should not be someone who is like wanting to get rid of the fucking Department of Education. For what? You don't know anything about education. The fact that Secretary Cardona is the Secretary of Education makes me so happy. He's from Meriden, Connecticut. He was a teacher. He was an administrator. He was like in charge. He was the superintendent of schools for the state. Like, he knows what's going on. Granted, I do wish that he had had more classroom experience, because I think that people who jump to administration really quick, it's because they want to be higher up. It is what it is. because he actually has experience in the field, though. So he is capable of making decisions. And I think he also recognizes that he is not the end all be all of it. He recognizes that he needs other input. And I think that the upcoming administration, which God willing, it will be Harris and Waltz, it will be one where it can be collaborative rather than constantly just screwing people out of what they deserve. That's really what it comes down to.
I think it's also too the age of both of them too, being 20, 30 years younger than both 45 and Biden, being like, hi, we are younger. We're going to be here a little bit longer than you. We want everyone to live. So
yeah,
here we have options. But I think it's also too of like having this ticket of both a man and a woman, which we all know gender is diverse. We're not just saying men and women. But, you know, in this moment of like having a female president finally would be one iconic. For her to be black, please. I could die. But also like this just the perspective of finally having a woman's opinion in a position of power after the U.S. being around for Lord knows how many hundreds of years. I'm just like, wow. We are the people who literally give birth, and y'all act like we are an inconvenience to you. What would happen if you like actually fucking listen to us? What a riveting thought. Because I think about, you know, when J.D. Vance recently made that comment about like childless cat ladies who have no stake in the economy or in the future. I'm like, hi, what about adoptive parents? What about people who have lost a child? What about people who want to have kids and just haven't yet? Like, just everything he said was obviously wrong. But I just think about like you have pissed off so many people because there's people who just choose not to have kids, but still literally care about what happens to this country. Like,
yeah,
think like, please read and think about something other than yourself.
Yeah. Just, I will like, say I watched I was feeding my son's dinner, but I was like, the rally is on. I was like, okay, I have to watch it on the live stream on Instagram. And I was like, okay. So I watched the part where Walls was like, I cannot wait to debate that man. And all I kept thinking to myself was like, he better come for me. Like, the fact that that man had two children because of IVF, like, that's the reason that his children are alive. And the other guy is like, no, we don't need – what? You say that people who have children have a greater stake in this country, but then you want to take having children away from people. Makes sense. That's cool. It's just – it's
they
not –
they don't think. They just don't think. They truly just like, I'm going to do what's best for me in this moment right now. And that's like when Jennifer Aniston made the comment to him of like, I hope your daughter never has to use IVF.
Yeah.
Because Jennifer Aniston's like, I tried. She's like, I tried everything to be a mother. And now you're saying I have no value because I don't have kids. And it was just like, sir, you, again, your children who are at least half, half white, who probably look more like their mother because, you know, melanin, are not going to have your same privileges. And you don't even think about this shit. Like, how selfish are you? And this is a conversation I had with a friend the other day. Of like, what if we got married and he's a white dude? I was like, I fear that we would have to have a lot of conversation because I know that I'm going to be pegged as like the angry black mom immediately. I go, also, I don't have kids, but I know me right now as like an aunt, as an educator. I was like, I'm going to be a bear of a parent and I feel bad for any teacher that fucking pisses me off because I'm like, I want my spouse to be like, he'd be like, no, I'll be like, hi. Every year before the school year starts, you're going to want to talk to me first because my wife has to come up here. It's not going to be pretty for anybody. So let's have this conversation. But it's literally that of like you as a white man with children who are at least biracial, whatever, you know, whatever else they may be mixed with. You just don't think about this. And I think about 45 too. I'm like, so none of your kids have had IVF. None of them have had IVF. None of them have struggled with pregnancy. Like, you can't just say all these things, But then I also think about the Republican Party of like, most of y'all are having affairs. Let's just call a spade a spade.
Oh my God. I'm
and
sure.
And if you got someone knocked up who wasn't your wife, I bet you make her ass have an abortion. So
100%.
Or if your 14-year-old daughter got pregnant, I'm pretty sure you're going to make.
No, you marry her off. You marry her off just
family.
Like. You marry her off just like Sarah Palin did. Please. Remember that?
I will take, she just I would take like, her and Bush right now. I would.
Bold.
I would go back and take a Bush Palin ticket right now, man. We did not realize how good we had it.
Honestly,
and that's saying something.
It really. Is there.
Hear my words. A Bush Palin ticket right now.
Is there a moment that you think that you were like, if that had only changed in regard to politics?
Gore. Gore is my Roman Empire. If Gore would have won the election, you know how much shit would be different? We'd be living in space. I would have a condo on Mars by now because it may would have saved us because we wouldn't have global warming. We would be able to have he would have taxed the rich like no one's fucking business.
Yeah.
All the stuff we think about now that wasn't. I feel like we've gotten to a point where like I think we've always been talking about these things, but they've just gotten so ramped up because 45 is so ramped up and he's basically created a cult. I think if we would have had Gore, which I'm putting a lot of pressure on that sweet man. There's a lot to unpack here. Again, my Roman Empire. I think about if we didn't do Monica Lewinsky wrong, because it goes back to Bill.
Oh,
if we didn't wrong my girl
Monica.
Justice for Monica, who was literally a child.
That girl was in her early 20s.
Her brain was not fully developed.
Lord knows.
And that man was in a
position that I did that in my early 20s that I am not proud of.
Who amongst us? Shame my 30s I've done. No, I'm not. Anyway, different podcast episode. So I think about that. Like if Bill didn't do his fuck shit, we maybe could have got Gore. So I'm blaming Bill for Gore still. Because they kind of have that same shaped head, and I feel like people were triggered by
it. And they have the southern drawl a little bit. Yeah.
It's like, ow, clean it up. so I think about that. If we didn't wrong Monica, and Bill could have kept it in his pants, and we would have got Albert Brenneman Gore, not his real name, but for this moment it is, the way life would be so fucking different. And I stand on that. Like, I know there's like an alternate universe. There's maybe a different Earth where, like, Gore won.
That did happen.
Gore won. And they are just living in the ocean, watching fish swim by all day. And there's no plastic. There's no microplastics. The air is clean. We still have icebergs. There's condos on Mars because we figured out how to harness electricity, like, energy properly and reuse it. We don't use gas or oil. We use, like,
this is a wonderful
algae.
Place. I was going to say something very different, and poop. Now I feel like an asshole.
Poop. Everyone always goes with poop or oil, like corn.
No. So I think going back to what I asked you of like, what's the thing that you think?
Your fever dream?
I think that if the White House Correspondents' Dinner in 2011 hadn't happened, and
– oddly specific.
Please, yes.
Tell the kids why. What happened at the White House Correspondents' Dinner in 2011?
They dragged Donald Trump and they were like, you're a piece of shit. And that's why he was like, fuck you guys. And also, if Robert Kraft had let the man buy an NFL team, they didn't want him to own an NFL team. And that's why he said, fuck you then. I'm going to run for president. Why? Like, why couldn't you just let the man buy a team? I don't know why.
Listen, this man was literally hosting reality television and then went and ran a country. I tell people all the time, if you think you can't do something, look at DT. That man had the fucking audacity of a mediocre white man and he became president. So,
like Betsy DeVos, I can do whatever the fuck I want. Here's my resume. Like
Betsy, not a threat, so please don't come after me. But if I see you, it's on sight because how dare you?
She's such a shithead.
Betsy. that's the screen grab for this whole. It is Betsy. Like just
Betsy.
Me, Betsy.
She sucks.
My new dating profile picture is just me yelling about Betsy. Betsy. Just fucking dip.
But like that's the thing too is it's just
I have to find you a shirt that just says Yes, I'm thinking about the 2011 White House correspondence. I need to find it. And I want one that says, if Al Gore would have won.
If Al Gore would have won.
Dot, dot, dot.
But I also like the 2011 White House Correspondents' Dinner. That's so, I know that it's very specific.
I think about Monica Lewinsky at least like once a year. Like at
that, least once or twice. The show? What was that? The Ryan Murphy show.
Yeah, what? So good.
Oh, I was like.
With my girl, what's Beanie Feinstein?
Oh my God.
Was it called Monica? No.
No, it was called, it's a Ryan Murphy show. I know that. And Sarah Paulson, as always. No, it's like,
Hold on. Google. It was impeachment, an American crime story.
Oh, and I was thinking an American crime story and then impeachment. But like.
Oh, first of all, Sarah Paulson's Linda Tripp, iconic. One of her also, best fucking roles. If y'all haven't watched, my friend and I were texting about it every week. I was like, Brie. She's like, Brie. I was like.
It, Sarah Paulson also. What
that lesbian
never. Linda Tripp though, what a shit
unhuman.
So Linda Tripp, this gets back to another reason why you shouldn't vote for the people who are red. They are there's government jobs, and there are places like how Linda Tripp was in, like in the Pentagon and all this other stuff, and there's. Every administration moves a certain number of jobs. And according to this Project 2025 thing, there are thousands and thousands of jobs that don't change based on administrations. Government jobs are just like there. You are supposed to be an unbiased person, which as they should. But the fact that he's like, oh, I'm going to take all those back and I'm going to change all of them. So changing it from only like 400 people that change over every administration to thousands of people that change over every administration because you want to have them in your back pocket. No, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'll pass on that. I'm good. You can't just blow it all up and be like, well, this is why you should let me fix it. Cause it's in disarray. You made it that way. Like, it's enough.
It's enough. I don't know if we have the time. We also have to discuss if they move the judges, the Supreme Court judges, to having terms. It'll still be like 18 years. But the fact that we've had people who've been up there since like the flood of 78, I'm like, can we fucking come on, dude? Like,
the fact that there are people who. I get frustrated with people who are in power because they have a lot of them have gotten drunk on that power. Mm-hmm. The fact that there are people in the Supreme Court up until very recently who just died in office. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get me wrong. I love Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I genuinely think that she was holding out because she thought that better things were to come.
She literally had to. Yes. Sweet little bubby. She's like, I have to survive.
But
she also had her problem.
Why is she dying in office? Dying. Diane Feinstein, why are you dying in office? Mitch McConnell, why are you actively having strokes in front of the camera? If my that is the one thing that I will say about this whole ordeal of Biden literally a week and a half ago being like, you know what?
It's best.
It is best. Like, if we were in any other position, you'd be like, hey, Grandpa, you should retire. Like, you are 80 years old, Grandpa. You don't need to work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It shouldn't be okay that we are allowing people to die in office. I don't know how some people get elected that get elected. And I think it's because people are apathetic and they don't think that their vote matters or that things can change based on what they do. And I think that that's really ridiculous. I vote in every single election, even in off years. I tell my students, I don't care that it's next year is 2025.
There's an election. There's
a local election. That's what it is. 2026 might matter more to you, but in 2027, there will be another election. In 2028, there will be we don't have election day off every 4 years. We have election day off every year. So. Also, that should be a federal holiday. But what do I know?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Also, before we go, the last thing I think about is right now, to just sum it up perfectly about the hypocrisy about all this. If Obama, back when Sweet Barack was running for his second term, Barry, I love you. I hope you and Michelle are enjoying your life. If he would have gotten convicted of 44 felony charges, the fucking conversation we would be having would be significantly different than how, coming from the Republicans mostly, but also think the Dems would have dragged him too.
Oh, yeah.
But the way that the Republican Party is sitting here acting like good old 45 was not just founded on the 45 that he was charged with, 43. But I also think about every other case that he's been brought up against between, you know, sexual assault.
Defrauding people out of thousands of dollars. Yeah.
Because never forget about T University.
Yeah.
That really wasn't educating people. And then also the history lesson that Jackie gave us from the dollop about his sordid history at the beginning of this. I'm like, hi, if this was Barack or Kamala, we'd be having a really different conversation right now. Yeah.
The fact that people are like, hey, if Kamala doesn't have any of her own biological children, that's fine. No one gives a fuck. But if the roles were reversed and she had three different baby daddies and five children.
Yep. I saw that the other day. No. Like good old 45 does. He has five kids by three different women. But
you know what?
He's a man.
The most recent wife, she fucking hates him.
She's counting her fucking days.
No, yeah, Melania. She's like, same shit.
See, I'm gonna know. I'm gonna keep track.
She's done. Whatever. Also, good for her.
I mean, not that the Republicans care, but apparently, one of 45's son-in-laws was really close to Netanyahu when he was young. Like, used to stay at their family home.
Cool.
Oh. I'm like. I know that the Republicans are, you know, anti-Semitic, but I'm like, does no one care?
But the incestuous relationship that
also, quick sidebar, you can also be supportive of Jewish people and also say free Palestine. I just did it.
Correct.
Thank you. I'm also against the genocide of any human race, any human period. But you know, anyway, yeah. Wow, this has been history brought to you by.
I'll be here. This has
been, what if we just had a podcast called, do you ever just think about the 2011 White House correspondence?
Okay. It's a real thing.
I love that. Because I thought mine was like oddly specific, like, oh, the connection between the trajectory of like Bill Clinton fucked up, which is why we didn't.
No, it's the 2011 White House correspondence.
Listen, I also think about the fact that if Princess Diana didn't get murdered, but you know, she was murdered.
God.
They took out my girl. And y'all ain't never going to convince me differently. So if I die like 2 days, you know it's because I was onto something and I fucking called them out. Lizzie had her taken out. I said it.
Lizzie. Did you ever, when she died, did you see that chant that somebody did on like in a soccer game? It was like, they're like, Lizzie's in a box. Lizzie's in a box. And I was like, oh my God, these people fucking hated her. Like, you'll have to try to find it.
The peak colonizer was this white woman.
The fact that Great Britain didn't have 22 countries out of all of the countries that were not a colony. 22! 22!
You clearly have not watched The Crown.
No, I did.
It's like, because Lizzie was on her bullshit, so...
Goodness gracious. Anyhow,
come back anytime.
I would love to.
We should do
like a pop culture one.
I would be honored.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Again, our podcast is called The 2011 White House Correspondence Center is My Roman Empire. Says. Jackie, I need you to know, I'm going to think about that for the next like 3 weeks. Like, I'm going to write it on the wall. Just like, do you ever just think about the 2011 White House correspondence dinner?
I think you need to look that up and actually what transpired. Okay? It was a lot.
I blocked it out. I'm telling you, I blocked it out. I was in my junior year of college. I was getting drunk and trying to forget life. Okay?
No.
The 2011 White House correspondence dinner. Yes. Yes, yeah. I do. Yeah. I'll be sure to link everything we talked about for the last hour and 20 minutes. I'll link you so that people can find you. At the end of every episode, I like to end with a sort of palate cleanser question before the people get out of here. And the question is, it's a two-part. You just answer whichever one feels right.
Perfect.
What is the best advice you were ever given? Or what is a piece of advice you would give to your younger self?
I think that now that I have children, I would probably say to like my younger self, and this was, I cannot take credit for this. It's someone that I follow on social media. I forget his name exactly, but he posted a video of him talking to his daughter about like how her friends were making new friends. And she was like, I'm not jealous, but I feel a certain way about it. And she couldn't figure out what it was. And the dad kind of like was trying to get her to be able to vocalize what it was that she needed to say, because she was emotional about it. Like, she, again, didn't want to say she was jealous because that wasn't the right word, but he basically finally figured out that her worry was that her friends would not be able to give her enough friendship. And it was a worrisome to her that it there wouldn't be enough for her. And he basically told her, like, love is not a finite resource. But then he also said, like, after thinking about it, we also have to think about the fact that, like, love is not a finite resource, but we also have to tell our children that their feelings are not finite either. They can, you can definitely stop them, but that doesn't mean that you need to make it smaller. So I think that there are things like grief that you need to feel, and you might need to be outward about it, but you don't need to make it smaller to make other people feel better. You can feel hopeful about something and you can talk to people about it, but no one should make you feel smaller about it. You should, you are allowed to have these big emotions. You are allowed to express them. And I think that when we're kind of told, like, I even think about it, like, if I'm crying in public and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Why should I be sorry that I'm crying in public? I am just, it's a natural emotion and reaction to things. And I think now, looking back on it, saying that to my sons and saying that to a younger child or even a teenager, especially a teenager, of like, your emotions do not need to have a timeline. They do not need to have a time limit, and they do not need to be stifled. So I think that that's, yeah, I would say that that's really important for our kids to know. And I think that that would lead to a lot better mental health for them too.
That's it for this week's episode of The Tea with Bree. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at The Tea with Bree. Send me an email at theteawithbree@gmail.com or visit the website, theteawithbreepodcast.com. You can find me, your host, Brianna Jenkins, on Instagram at Brianna Jenkins. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. A special thanks to Mama Duke for our theme music, and I will catch you next time. Bye.